Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond, beyond. Greetings and good evening and good afternoon and possibly good morning and maybe good night. This is Ever Beyond and I am JP, your tour guide into the weird and the unusual. And tonight is no exception, except it's becoming more and more usual to be talking about this kind of stuff. We're going to be discussing the dark side. We're going to be talking about the last week. In fact, has seemingly been a week of attacks and people have been getting ill mysteriously, and headaches and heartaches and all sorts of things that have been going on. And to help me in this confusing and difficult discovery period, I have my dear and good friend, the lovely beingness of Katie Galanti, with me to help us along and to be the spiritual guide for this journey. So, without further ado, Katie, good evening, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, JP. How are you doing?
I'm very good. I'm very good.
We're doing our usual last minute wing it thing.
Yes, yes. I had a guest who couldn't make it today, and we arranged the other day to maybe cover it. And of course, you know, everything being as it is, it drifted from both of our minds. And anyway, it's great to have you here. And maybe this mysterious guest might mysteriously turn up next week. He's you know, you'll love him, but he's got issues, so he's not always available. So thank you for being the best cover in the world and heroine of the week. Katie, we've been inundated with weirdness this week, and no doubt you've been with your clients and everything like that. People have been experiencing similar sorts of things. Is that right?
Well, just even myself on a personal level, I had pneumonia starting January 4th, and I'm just on the other side of it at the moment, right? So I never got pneumonia before. There was a new experience.
Lovely.
So it took me a couple of weeks to recover from that. And actually, for anybody out there that is having complications from this strange flu that's coming down, that in my mind, I'm pretty convinced that it's not a normal flu. It feels pretty nasty, okay? Mm. After fighting with it for a little bit, I actually went to a good alternative doctor that I see every now and then, and he said 20K vitamin C and homeopathic Drosera, right? And within 24 hours, it was gone. So if anybody is having the nasty chemtrail flu sent down to make our immune systems collapse, do follow. You can try that, okay?
So can you go through that again? You had 20K, which means 20 grams.
Yeah,
20 grams of vitamin C.
That's a lot, right?
That's about 300 oranges, isn't it?
That's about a whole ship full of oranges.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you want to go that route, you have to go ascorbic acid. Like, you know, there's like ascorbic acid powder.
Yeah.
Where one teaspoon is 5,000 vitamin C, right?
That's more like it.
Then it's like half a teaspoons a day. You can kind of handle that and be prepared to not like it.
To be prepared to fizzle on.
That's right. But it will nuke out of your system whatever is in it.
Oh, that's marvellous. And then, what was that? Drosera? I've never heard of that one.
I never heard of it either, but it was a miracle worker. I took 4 pellets of Drosera and I stopped coughing. Right?
Oh, wow.
So, Drosera, it's literally spelled that way. Drosera. Right? And it's those little tiny pellets. It was $6 for a little thingy. I took 8 pellets and my cough disappeared.
Wow.
After coughing non-stop for like 2 weeks straight. So,
what was the homeopathic potentiality of it? Potency?
It was for dry cough. That's actually what it's for.
Yeah, no, but was it like a 6M or a 6X or something like that? Can you remember what?
C.
Six, how many?
30C, whatever 30C. That means.
Yeah, it's a you. Yeah, it's weird. it's all about how far it's been diluted into almost nothing.
Sorry, but I have no knowledge of homeopathy, so I'm just telling you what I did.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was quite miraculous. It was, you know, 6, 6, 6, 6, and then, you know, 8 pellets and. I only got through about half of the vitamin C, and the thing just cleared up. So, pretty much overnight. So, it was a good device.
Right? All right, brilliant. So, the other question is, where do you get that?
Any health food store that does homeopathy will have it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not 30cc. It's 30C. No. That's the homeopathy is according to dilution and. Mm-hmm. What that actually means is 30 dilution of 30 of so you take 1 cc and you dilute that with 30 cc's, and that is also having already been diluted 100 times. So you take 1 cc and add, yeah. So yes. Ah, right. So I was just going to say, my girlfriend Wolf Baby knows a bit about homeopathy, and she says it's also known as sundew. She's saying in the health food show.
Okay, excellent. Okay, and it is my understanding that homeopathy is one of the most vibrational kind of medicines that we can. It's basically a vibration thing, isn't it? It's like you get a vibration of something rather than actually having to take it.
That's right.
So I think that for people that are more subtle energy orientated, sometimes the homeopathy works better because we're kind of subtle anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, but I was quite surprised. I've never been a great, you know, I haven't really done a homeopathy before, but it was interesting because I did everything else and then I took this and it went away almost immediately. So. Just passing on the information because I know that there's a lot of people out there that have this flu right now.
Yes.
It's a flu. So rather than take the flu shot, try this first.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just a thing about homeopathy, because it was originally like the medicine that people used in America. There is almost exclusively. And since the pharma companies started taking hold of the corporation government and creating the corporation government, really, then it's been phased out because, I mean, it's basically, it's water that we all know that we've seen Emoto's work where you shout at a glass of water and you freeze the ice crystals and they go all over the place and they're ugly, and you say the other one you cuddle and say I love you and you freeze that and you get these beautiful snowflakes.
That's right.
So it shows that that water will retain the vibration. So basically, you're taking the vibration of the poison, eliminating the poison itself by holding the vibration. Then your body is able to deal with the vibration.
That's right. And also, we are energetic beings, and we are 70% water. So it would make sense that something that is carrying a vibration in water would do well with a 70% based water energy being, right?
Yeah.
So I'd never really thought about it like that before, but I'm thinking about it now.
good old thinking on the fly. Well, actually, during the last period of during the last bunch of music that I was playing, I played a tune by the guy from Twin Peaks. Do you remember? Did you see Twin Peaks?
Yeah, all the way back in the day, I did, yes.
All right, well, there was a guy, his name's James Marshall. He's the, he was the kind of rebel, what's that guy? James Dean kind of figure. Who rode the motorbike. Anyway, he got ill, got poisoned by something and turned up at Shari Edwards' door. And was starting to do stuff, but he's also a musician. Anyway, so they worked out a bunch of frequencies that were able to strip away the outer coating of pathogens. So, like the ones that hide in your system.
Right.
And that's why it's hard to fight these things, because they hide, they stealth. So they gave him a bunch of frequencies and he said, oh, that's not going to sound nice. Anyway, so he just put the chords together and looped that and played a few solos on top of that, and that's what I played before. And it sounds a little like if you took Little Wing by Jimi Hendrix, snipped it up into little bits, threw the tape up into the air and glued all the bits back together again. It's got that kind of sound to it, but it doesn't sound like it, if you like.
I understand.
Yeah. Oh, poor Dolly. She's wishing the health food store was open right now. She's exhausted from coughing and her ribs and stomach muscles hurt from it. So
I have empathy. I had the same.
Yes.
I didn't manage to sleep for 8 days because every time I put my head on the pillow and stuff, coughing so hard. And I couldn't sleep, so I just couldn't sleep. It's not a fun flu.
Oh.
But the Drosera helped, and also the good old cough mixture, at least it knocks you out a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, Dr. Lysergic's special cough mixture.
That's right. Like, when in doubt, knock it out.
That's right. That's right. No, Katie put a post on Facebook the other day. I've just taken this cough medicine and I'm tripping out. I said, so, yes, anyway, Dr. Lysergic's acid.
Right.
So,
well, it's apparently people take it for recreational use. I read that because I took it and I started seeing things, right? And literally I took one capful of the cough mixture and then I was like, whoa, the room is breathing and I'm seeing things out of the corner of my eye. What's going on here? So I went online and apparently it was like, yep, a psychoactive ingredient in the cough mixture.
People, God, what's in it?
It was like, okay, well, that's interesting. But within an hour, I was sleeping, so it was okay.
That was fine. They had some great dreams. Yeah.
You know, but then I decided that it was not a daytime. It was not a daytime thing.
Do not operate heavy machinery or drive, yeah. Because those dragons, they'll really mess your head up.
don't give psychic guidance with the cough mixture. You know, a little bit too much high strange in there.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Very Strange's cough mixture.
That's right.
Wow.
You know, it's quite interesting when those kind of things, you know, interact with people that aren't naturally, like, psychic or clairvoyant already, because it doesn't really take much to flip that switch, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
The adventure. the adventures of psychism when you're ill. So, but this is, I mean, this is, I mean, it's all relevant because, you know, we've been talking like about the topic of this show I mean, essentially, this is what we're talking about. This is how we've experienced this last week. And we got a heads up last week also that the powers that be are after the internet radio show hosts this week because of the inauguration. Is it Monday or Tuesday?
It's Monday.
Monday.
So I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's tomorrow.
Okay, so... tomorrow, something weird is going to happen. I don't know. What happened last time? He signed the Satanic Bible with his blood of a child. That's or right.
Something? Yeah. Well, the last time, mysteriously, he did not manage to. Mr. O, let's call him Mr. O. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't manage to say the whole thing straight when he was swearing in, right?
Mm.
And so then they had to do a second swearing in the basement in some crypt. I'm joking around here a little bit. I'm in this funny mood. I hope it's okay.
That's fun. That's fun.
Basically, so it was like Bible in the crypt, and they did their own swearing in private. Who knows what happened there, right? Okay. My sense is that that was just a way to do a swearing in through a different in a different way that had a you know occult overtones and stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? It's going to be interesting just to take a look at that and see how that gets played out. But regardless of how it gets played out, we all know who we are getting, right, in terms of the it doesn't really matter at this point who becomes president, you know, whatever side, it's just different angles on the same agenda. So it doesn't really matter anymore. But the thing that, you know, I think is more interesting just in general is that it seems that now every public opportunity, and for the past few years, is being used almost like in a ritualistic way. It's almost like every single time there's the whole world or the whole public gathered to either watch something or participate into something, it kind of gets transformed into a ritual of some kind. Through which energy can be harnessed and used, or through which you know invocations can be made, or whatever, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm, whatever happens tomorrow, it will just be some version of that.
That's right.
Who knows what it's going to be, but it will be some version of that.
It's interesting, you know, Katie, because I was listening to one of the earliest shows that we did together. And this is exactly what you said, maybe about 14, 15 months ago. And you were saying, watch out, everything that happens this year, all these events, the Queen's birthdays and all these things, they're all going to be, you know, the ritualization is going to go full on from there. And you were spot on.
Yeah, well, it's been a trend. It's been a trend for a while, but it's been increasing. And I think the time in which I said that was when we were doing the first show on externalization of ritual. That was really about a year and a half ago when I just started with you guys, right? I started talking with you guys. I did a show with you and Roger and Dave on the Wolf Spirit Radio bit, and then I did another one with you on these topics at the time. Yeah. And it just seems that this is, you know, I've been tracking these things for a while. I used to track some of these things with Robert Phoenix on his radio show way back when. And if you go to my website, you can listen to the commentary that we did together on the royal wedding, for example. Right. And, you know, it's been going on for a while, and it will continue going on. And, even the event with the children, right, that had just happened recently.
Yep.
that too is just more of the same. Okay. And in fact, it's kind of interesting that it seems that right now the pattern is a shooting and then a public ceremony and then a shooting and another public ceremony, right? And the shootings, if they actually exist, because now it seems that if you look at some of these shootings, that I'm not even sure that they're actually really happening, right? It seems that some of them are actually staged. So, but whatever they are, those are are another form of ritual also, okay? Now, the last shooting is a little bit more worrying in terms of the, you know, there's events that shape policy, all right? And I'm a little bit concerned about this last one because it really is shaping policy. They seem to be very adamant now about going after the Second Amendment, or at least changing it significantly, right? It seems to me that they're kind of trying to go after the First Amendment as well, because just like it happened after 9/11, whoever questioned 9/11 was not patriotic and anti-American, right?
That's right.
And now whoever questions the last shooting seems to be disrespectful of the memory of the children, right?
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
And so there's been things said, even on the news, of, you know, that they're considering going after people that post about certain things on social media, right? And since we're all posting about all these things on social media, that's not good, right?
They're talking about us!
Yeah, it's like it's not nice when on the news they talk about you.
Yeah, it's the last thing you want to be talked about on the news. Yeah, you want to be on a nice current affairs show or something like that. Yeah. Meanwhile, yeah. So let's roll back a couple of these things. Oh, one of the things was you know, the Sandy Hook event. Mm-hmm. Let's call it an event because we've now discovered that there's a company. Oh yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, nice one. Have I been cut right off? Maybe. No, I'm still on there. well, maybe we better not talk about that Sandy Hook event. So,
I guess we're not talking about this event.
Maybe not, but here's a few things. In the chat room, I will I will post the name of a website. Yes, I think it.org. I think that's the name of the website. And that's a company that that stages shooting events, stages crisis events.
I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
That you know, if you want a group of people to look upset and pretend to talk to fake news cameras, which turn out to be real for real news cameras, that you can hire these people. They're for hire, and they have their lives, and the whole family does the job. You know, the father is the father of one group, and the father, and then it turns out that the president gets photographed with one of these actors' children, wearing the same dress that she posed in a couple of days ago. It's just so, I mean, are people really like this? Do they, I suppose it's the emotional, value of that put down, which is, oh, we got to be respectful for the dead.
Yes, absolutely. And also, unfortunately, I think there's something slightly more sinister about this, because the whole thing about things being staged, right, and various things about actors involved, you know, it's almost too obvious. And then you have to ask yourself if they're not clumsy, these people, okay? Like, these guys, they're not stupid and they're not clumsy, right? So why would they produce an event that is basically littered with clues all over the place that it's, you know, that it's a fake? you have to think about that. And so I thought about it. And I have a feeling that it's a way, because they're doing kind of like a two-punch thing. On the one side, they've littered this thing. They've either done a really poor job or they've just littered it with clues that people like us are going to pick up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then on the other hand, they have also, they're also kind of going after the free speech thing by saying, you know, it's disrespectful to talk about certain things, and they're closing down some YouTube accounts, do you know what I mean? And they're doing all sorts of stuff like that, and saying that, kind of demonizing the quote-unquote conspiracy theorist for disrespecting things and so on. So, but at the same time, they're drawing out the conspiracy theorists with all of these clues, right?
Mm.
So if you think about it in those terms, it's almost as if they are pulling out the people and then hitting them with a big stick.
Yeah, breadcrumbs.
So they're kind of pulling out the people that could comment about these things and then shutting down their YouTube channels or who knows what next. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we have to think about it even in those terms, because you have to remember that these people are not stupid. They do not they do not do things badly. They think about, they plan things, okay?
And they have an artificial intelligence machine that is working this stuff out.
And then there's the other aspect of, so on one level, yes, very likely, I mean, literally, we do not have any real footage of anybody being hurt. There's a lot of contradictory information. There are some people, there are clues that some people may be actors, although I think some of that is also being blown up. There's a person, I don't really want to do the names thing, so I'm not going to mention names, but I'm just going to say that there's somebody out there that is actually putting out a lot of this information about actors, and if you go and look at his website, you find that it's absolutely ridiculous, the kind of people that he thinks are involved.
Oh yeah, I've seen that guy. Yeah, that's he's a little far-fetched, and you know, he, again, he may be part of this, you know, there may be a fake alternative media scenario going on here. Do you think
Absolutely.
I'm just on crisisactors.org, by the way. Statement from Crisis Actors. We are outraged by Florida Atlantic University Professor James Tracy's deliberate promotion of rumor and innuendo to link Crisis Actors to the Sandy Hook shootings of December the 14th, 2001. We do not engage our actors in any real-world crisis events, and none of our performances may be presented at any time as a real-world event. James Tracy copied his material from blogs and YouTube channels. It's obviously that these sites pander to followers who only need rumor and innuendo to carry out such a relentless hate attack against the Sandy Hook community as well as crisis actors.
Yeah, so you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You see what I mean by the two-punch thing?
That's right. So it actually causes people to be alienated from the from people who are trying to find the truth out.
Absolutely. And also, remember that, again, just like 9/11, what they do is that they create something that feels like a horrific trauma, right?
Yeah.
And people, normal people, not us, normal people, right, react, and I'm talking about Joe Public, react emotionally to these events, because to them it's traumatic, it's sad, 20 children died, oh my God, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And the media pumps that up, oh my God, it's terrible, so people cry. There was people crying over this thing. I'm not saying that you shouldn't cry about 20 dead children, but how many children have died in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Exactly.
Nobody cries about that. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's not really the whole crying thing. It's not really about the 20 dead children. It's about how the information is being packaged, right?
Yeah, so it feels like there's more, there's subtext or other subliminal information that is being sent through the TV, through these news reports, that is causing people to really deeply emotionally take it on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, but why do they want people to emotionally take stuff on. They want people to emotionally take stuff on because they want a non-rational reaction. When we're in our emotional body, we're not thinking straight. When we're coming from a gut emotional reaction, we're not engaging logic.
Mm-hmm.
That's the state that people need to be in. It's like a trauma-based mind control type thing. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Trauma, emotion, slightly dissociate even on a minor level, right, where you dissociate your logical mind. You stay in the emotional body and you don't go into the mental body. And then you react to things instead of thinking about things. So what is the reaction that they want? Well, the reaction is, oh, guns are bad. We have to get rid of them. It's time to get rid of them. And then you have people like Piers Morgan. Have you been following him?
Oh, my giddy aunt. Piers Morgan, we tried to get rid of him from Britain, right? We managed to say, but where did he land? Where did he land? Jesus. Fox News, is it? I can't remember.
He's on CNN.
He's on CNN. Like, I don't know what the viewership for CNN is these days, because it's not as good as it used to be. However,
CNN, and he's doing his little evening thing.
Oh, my giddy aunt.
Every evening, he's beating somebody up. I think he interviewed Jesse Ventura, and then he interviewed Alex Jones, and then he interviewed the gun lobby guy, and then he interviewed some Republican, quite smart guy. Like, and I'm apolitical. I don't care if somebody's, I don't like either of them, right? Like the Democrat, Republicans, or whatever. But this one was smart and was making some good points, right? But basically, Piers Morgan is one of the public opinion shapers at the moment, in the sense that he's going after people that are trying to defend the Second Amendment. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's going after it with very emotionally manipulative arguments, right? And accusing people that are in any way pro Second Amendment to be, again, disrespectful of the dead children, etc., right? So that is part of the agenda. Part of the agenda is to start to hack away at the Second Amendment, okay? And the Second Amendment was put in place. I'm not an expert on the Constitution at all. American Constitution.
I'm sure that we'll be swiftly and correctly corrected in the chat room. Look, we're Euros, okay? So go ahead, Katie. Having given the disclaimer there.
All right. Well, I think the Second Amendment was designed to be anti-us initially, right? Anti-Euros. But basically, the idea was to prevent the possibility for any kind of tyranny to come in by having a population that was not disarmed, right?
Yeah, well, I remember there's something about a well-armed militia.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, people's armies.
And the idea behind that is if you have a government that gets out of hand, if the population has means to defend itself, then that would help to make sure that didn't happen. So the idea behind it is almost like a safeguard against things going bad at the government level. Okay?
That's right. That's right. It's, they're known as checks and balances, and it's a really, really good idea. It's a really, really good idea, except when you've got a bunch of really clever, evil people who, over many generations, erode the knowledge and wisdom that holds this thing together in the first place. And that seems to be what's happening. And the only people that you get who know about this kind of stuff are the Alex Joneses of the world, who are really angry And of course, they're not going to get through, you know, because, oh, look, he's a mad, angry guy with guns.
Too extreme, right? The position is presented. It's not too extreme, but it's presented in too extreme a way.
But I tell you, there is one group who I believe are the possible saviors of this situation, and I believe that's the First Nations. Because they've, you know, we've experienced a few people here. We've got Gerald Whitehorse Standing and Seven, who really know the law, they know the Constitution, and they know all this stuff. And I think really these guys are going to be the saviors of America.
It's very well possible. And and just going back to the Second Amendment for a second, okay? And I'm sorry, I have a slight headache, so I'm struggling sometimes to keep my train of thought, right?
That's all right. We'll keep the train running. We'll keep the tracks greased.
Okay, thank you. do you remember there was I think it was Naomi Wolf that did this that wrote this book. That was about the 10 things that a government would do when it was taking down a democracy. Okay,
right.
It was like 10 steps that all out of control governments, pre-dictatorship governments, will do. Right. There's actually a video that is about 2 hours long, an hour long, or something, on YouTube of her giving a talk about this. That is. I wish I could remember what it's called, but look at The End of America, I think it's called, right? Where she talks in front of some university audience about this book, but why she wrote it, and the 10 steps that pretty much it's almost like a blueprint that gets used in any situation in which we're going from a free society to a dictatorial rule, okay? And taking down erosion of free speech is one of them, obviously, right? And the other one is taking away the guns. Apparently the Nazis did it, okay? And various other... if you look at all of the dictatorships across the world and across history, that seems to be what they have done. And in very logical ways, it's like if you have a disarmed population, you can pretty much do whatever you want, right? Now, personally, on a personal level, I'm very anti-violence and I'm very anti all of those things. But I can see, but I'm also not particularly happy about the idea of freedom going away, okay? And so although the violent route is not a route that I endorse in any shape or form, I see why the Second Amendment makes sense, and why it's a big deal if it's kind of eroded. Okay,
That's right.
So I think that it's very significant that this is happening. But there's another aspect of the Sandy Hook thing that maybe not people are not paying so much attention to, but I think is important. And I was listening to an interview a couple of nights ago on Coast to Coast AM, and they had Peter Bregan talking. And do you know who Peter Bregan is?
Peter Bregan? No. Enlighten me.
Peter Bregan is the author of Toxic Psychiatry and Talking Back to Prozac. He's a psychiatrist, and he has been, for the past 20 years, he has been a very strong anti-psychiatric medication guy, okay? He his first deal was Prozac. He realized that a lot of people, when they were put on SSRI antidepressants, would go out and do horrible things like kill their wife and their children, right? So, little side effect that he didn't like.
Yeah.
And actually, this happens more than people know. There was an actual trial, you know, between one of the big pharmaceutical companies and a family where I think it was the grandfather, after 2 weeks of taking antidepressants, took out three of his grandchildren and his spouse. Okay.
Oh, geez.
So, and it was settled out of court, you know what I mean, and all the rest of it. But there's a history of this. There's a history of both violence and suicidal ideation with SSRI antidepressants, okay? And it's a fairly serious side effect, so it's not something that you particularly want to not inform people about. And they give out this stuff as if it's candy, right? So, so his journey started with... being an advocate, basically somebody saying toxic psychiatry, some of the psychiatry is really not good for you, and so on. And then he started going after Ritalin and ADD, ADHD, right, et cetera, et cetera. Because a lot of people, although there are various reasons for which children and ourselves are hyperactive at the moment, and a lot of them have to do with the fact that we're overloaded with stimulants. We're overloaded with electronics, video games. We're overloaded with sugar, additives, you know, and all sorts of things that make the nervous system go kind of a little off, okay? But they came out eventually in the DSM manual. They eventually came out with the ADD, ADHD diagnosis, right? That once upon a time existed under, I think it was called minor motor dysfunction, right? But they made it into a big thing, and then they found a medication for it, and now I don't know what percentage of it is really high of children that are on Ritalin. So he took on that thing as well. And a lot of people don't know that Ritalin is pretty much just, it's an amphetamine, it's speed. And when they give it to children, it crashes out their nervous system, and then they're nice and peaceful because they're crashed out.
Oh, seems legit. what about the gap between you giving them and them crashing out? I'm sure there might be a bit of a side effect, a list of side effects that they might have. You know, may destroy your house before crashing.
So it's basically your nervous system is already amped. So let's give it something that will amp it even more, and then the nervous system will just crash, and you will be very peaceful. Okay, that's Ritalin for you. It really does work that way. So anyway, there's already, as part of our society, a kind of like an epidemic of over-medicating of children, right? And who did the Sandy Hook thing? I'm sorry about this phone in the background. Yeah, it's in the other room, or I would take it out.
Yeah, take it out. with your well-armed militia. This is what happens when Euros move to America. They buy guns and they shoot things. Hey, I can have a gun. Look at that, yeah. I don't know, do you hear many gunshots? I mean, I actually hear quite a lot of gunshots because I live on a country estate, and people, you know, people shoot poor innocent animals on the estate that I live on, you know.
Just as a disclaimer, I have no weapons. It's just a figure of speech.
No. I'm just teasing you. Oh, bless her.
I'm going to go back to my original question.
Right. Meanwhile,
who in theory, according to the story, did the Sandy Hook shooting?
Oh, right.
A person with a psychiatric condition, a young person with a psychiatric condition, right?
That's right. And they find this photo, right, where he's looking down and he's really, really shy looking, like that kind of, like that kind of really introverted kid that stabs his parents in movies.
That's
kind of
right.
Thing.
And also, I think he had a diagnosis of autism, again, if it is all true. And how somebody that is autistic would go out and do something like this is, you know, if you actually understand autism, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But the angle that is being pushed at the moment is that they have to do mental health screening for everybody, right? Mm. Now, this mental health screening for everybody is an agenda that has actually been on the table for a while, because already in 2003-2004, the Bush administration had started to put forward a proposed bill or proposed law for doing mental health screening very early, like in kindergarten or school. And the idea was to be able to catch mental health issues very early so that then they could be, quote-unquote, medicated appropriately, right?
Yeah, or groomed to become politicians.
Or groomed to become politicians. But there's an even more concerning thing here, because as that law was being proposed at the time, and I'm guessing that this is just another way to get something, you know, that they don't stop until they get what they want, right?
No.
It's like, if they propose to a certain law and it gets stopped and it doesn't go through, 2 or 3 years later, they'll repackage it in a slightly different way and they'll try to feed it to you again, okay?
Same, yeah, okay, same stuff, different wrapper, yeah.
That's right. So my sense here is that we are getting this mental health screening law I don't know if it's going to happen, but they're definitely trying to get it to happen. And the nastiest part of this mental health agenda is that, A, we're in danger of having a mental health police state. That is pretty much what happened in Russia, right? During the USSR. If there was anybody that was, a pain in the backside to the system, they would say that there was a mental health problem, and then they would get tucked away somewhere.
Been doing that for years in Britain, quite openly.
That's right.
look at most of the Queen's relatives.
That's right. But then there is the even more concerning thing, that is that the state and the schools become the ones that decide about medication of children, right? So mental health becomes a state and school issue rather than a parent issue. So if you have a child that, for whatever reason, they decide that has a mental health, you know, that is going through this mental health screening system, you as a parent are no longer the one that is in charge of deciding what happens to your child. The school and the state are the ones that have the authority to ask for your child to be medicated. And guess what happens to children that do, you know, to parents or children that don't go through with that? Well, then we have the usual child protection services come in, right? And we all know, well, I don't know if your listeners know this, but in general, child protection services are not very protective at all. They're not very nice. They're not a very nice body, and they often take away children that shouldn't be taken away. And then you can have all sorts of conspiracy theories as to what happens to these children anyway, okay?
Yeah, but we won't mention Jimmy Savile.
We won't. We will definitely not mention that. So can you see that there's like a multiple agenda being stacked here, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And the mental health screening thing is not nice, because it basically, if you have a society that is straitjacketed right from age 3 in a chemical way, that does not look good for humanity. And in fact, I would say that out of everything that is going on right now, is one of the things that concerns me the most. The gun control... it's not a good sign that this is going on, but in some ways we don't stand a chance against the other guys, even if you do have a gun. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, they have so much other stuff that,
exactly,
really, let's be real, okay? Right. I mean, if there really were to be a showdown between the great forces and the little people would not stand a chance, even if the Second Amendment was well in place. However, the mental health screening, I would really put that on a... I would be concerned about that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is something that needs to be...
Yes.
Paid attention to, and it's a conversation that needs to be listened to very carefully.
Yes. Right? Here's the thing that it reminds me of, Katie, is the that film. I was going to say Vanilla Sky. No, the other one. Same guy.
Minority Report.
It's exactly that scenario where, but they, instead of using psychics, they're using an artificial intelligence that will say, ah, yeah, somebody with autistic rating 5 and ADHD rating 7. Yeah. If we just pump up his dose of Ritalin, then they know all the different side effects. It's all in the database. It's they all know all this stuff.
Absolutely.
And you can. Go on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then imagine, for example, that you're in a situation where, you could go very dark with all of these imaginings, okay? And there's a part of me that wants to go there and a part of me that doesn't, because I don't really want to help them create this, right?
No.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I really don't want to give them ideas.
Well, what we could do is give the people here who are listening ideas, so that they're able to discern this this event happening whenever it happens, and also that helps because they're part of the collective. Everybody who listens to this and who knows these people, they go this, and this is what I keep saying. You know, everybody that you know, every listener here knows a few more people, and everybody that they know will get that as soon as a nugget of truth comes out. It just it spreads like wildfire. It's it's great stuff. It's better than gossip.
But basically, in a nutshell, be careful of any kind of mental health discussion and mental health laws, mental health conversations that come out at the moment as a result of this, because they are meant to be a chemical straitjacket on society, okay? Once the state becomes the regulator of mental health, you have a big problem on your hands, okay? Because the mental health issue can be used in the same way as the copyright issue is used to silence free speech, okay? They're not saying you're not allowed to speak, but what they're saying is you infringe copyright, okay? These are lateral, sideways ways of shutting people and conversations down, right? Another thing that is happening, that again, I actually recommend that people go listen to the Coast to Coast show from, I think it was 2 nights ago. Peter Bregan did the first hour, and the second hour was Russ Dizdar. Russ Dizdar is a high-caliber exorcist that has a lot of experience with cult and programmed personalities and depossessions, okay? So both that show has a lot of juice in it, okay?
Right up Katie Street.
It is. It's Katie's favorite show. I listen to it very carefully.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, in fact, you and I should interview Russ Dizdar together.
Well, there's a thing. There's a good idea for the future of 2013 that we can extend these conversations and bring in other people, and eventually you'll have the Katie Galanti show, which is what everybody's been waiting for. You know, you understand that.
Well, Katie Galanti is a bit lazy.
Oh, shit. Look, how much effort has this taken? Come on. It's good for you. It's medicine.
Okay. But anyway, what was I saying? Russ Dizdar, and then there was the dude, Peter Bregan. Peter Bregan was saying another thing that they're doing is that they are trying to interfere between the patient and therapist confidentiality laws, okay? Basically, they want to introduce some regulations that say that if anybody expresses any kind of ideas or inclination towards violence in a therapy or psychiatry session, that you make a report and you send it in, okay, to the authorities. There already is something like that in California. I think it's called the Tarasoff Law, because a kid in a university confessed to his therapist that he wanted to kill this girl. I think her name was something Tarasoff, right? And then he went out and he redid it, okay? And so there is a reporting law already in California, but it's only for very extreme kind of cases, okay? And he was saying that they're now trying to introduce something like that that is actually quite broad, and he feels that that means also the end of confidentiality in therapy, that in his mind also means the end of therapy, because once you limit what people can say, and once you put too much monitoring onto something that somebody may say, even in just an emotional moment or whatever, in a therapist's office, really you have shut down the intimacy of that relationship and the healing.
And the trust.
Yeah, that's right.
The trust that creates the healing. That's a very important, very interesting point. And I came across it a few years ago. My friend, he had a son, and he had, I think he was about 17 at the time. He had palpitations, and he'd been, you know, smoking a bit too much weed, and they mentioned it. The next thing that they heard, like, not only was there an ambulance, but there were two police cars there.
Yeah, I understand.
And yeah, so, I've seen this happen. Actually, that was a few years ago, and inspired a song, which I'm probably going to play at the thing, which is called "Trust Me, I'm a Doctor."
You wrote this song?
Well, you could say that. I'm sitting at the piano making these big notes, and the boy, he's a great drummer, and he's playing the really funky drum beat. And then there's a harmonica player and all sorts of things, but it's quite a good jam and heavily compressed. So I'll see if I can dig that out. I found it on MySpace, but
summing up all of the grand nastiness of things, all right? And it's not nice that we have to sum these things up, but it's the way that it is. Basically, we have an event that is triggering multiple lines of conversation aimed at creating and modifying laws, right? And the legal stuff that's coming on the horizon does not look pretty. And we've always known that it was going to go that way if left unattended, right? Like, we know that this is what these people want to do. So it's no news, but it feels unfortunate that it seems that, just like the Patriot Act 1 and 2 emerged out of the 9/11 event, this stuff is emerging out of this event. And so we need to pay attention to the legal changes that are going to happen or be discussed in the next few months. It's important. Okay. Mental health is one of them. Free speech is another one. Being kind of like pulled and out and discredited as the truth researchers is another one, and Second Amendment is another one. There's a lot going on here. There's at least four different levels going on at the same time. It's a lot of stuff, okay? And energetically, as you know, I look at the planet, right, every now and then. That's what I look at it.
A quick askance glance.
That's right. And so I looked, right? In the middle of pneumonia, my look, pneumonia and cough syrup do not help the looking. Right? The looking is not so clear under those circumstances. But basically, The pneumonia-tinged, cough syrup-tinged look showed a wobble on the grids that wasn't there before, okay? So that is definitely... It means that these things are having an effect, basically. And as you know, the future is constantly shifting, right? Which is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. It's a good thing because it means that we can always change things. And it's a bad thing because even if we change things, that doesn't mean that we can then sit down and twiddle our thumbs, right? So, we have at various points in the past 10 years made great progress as far as the planetary energy is concerned. And then at various points, that progress has been taken back by other steps that the quote-unquote friendly opposition has also made, okay? So we make one step, they make one step, then we make another step, and then they make another step, and so on, okay? So the good thing is we always counteract what is occurring. The bad thing is, even if we do so, we can't then just sit back and chill, because they often come along and do something also, okay? So a couple of months ago, the planetary energy looked really, really good, okay? And right now, there's a wobble on it. So we need to definitely pay attention to what is happening. And as planetary workers, we need to focus on shifting any darkness and fear and mind control type energy that is being downloaded to some degree onto the collective at collective grids, okay? So that's the energy bulletin report on that, okay?
Thank you for that. So, Katie, it's about the top of the hour now, and so I'd like to actually put this track on, because it was, he told me the story, and then we played this, and so here we are at midnight. This is Studio 9 Jam. I won't reveal any names, of course not, just to protect the ones who might have been smoked. Anyway, here we go. This is going to be, trust me, I'm a doctor, and enjoy that.
This is Ever Beyond with JP.
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
2013 has arrived. This is the year for you to achieve whatever you set yourself to accomplish. I've been assisting people for over 30 years with their questions, clearing blockages, as well as developing their strengths and uncovering their paths. Log on to journeyswithrebecca.com and click on the appointment tab to book your session, all at a special price.
Wolf Spirit Radio.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond. This is JP, and I'm talking with the delightful Katie Galanti. And we've been exploring some very dark places this afternoon. In the way, it was a bit of a cliffhanger, you know, look at all this dark stuff, the old Dark Lodge is coming in, and we can't get complacent. So we have to be dynamically creative with our minds to instead of seeing this as a problem, deal with this as a puzzle, you know, like a crossword.
Yeah, it's true.
Take it out, girl, take it out.
1 second, let me go take it out.
So, I hope everybody enjoyed my little tuny there. I'm not much of a piano player, but I had this fantastic... It wasn't a real piano, it was an electronic keyboard, and it felt just like a piano, and I had it hooked up to an old Macintosh iMac, and it did all the sounds from it. It's got a great-sounding piano. The other thing that it's got is a great-sounding Rhodes. You know, the electric piano, and because somebody brought one to the studio once and left it there for a couple of months, as people did. They used to bring their musical instruments, and you know, it'd be a guest instrument, and people would come, and I'd open my doors every Friday, and people would come. And somebody once left there for a few months a thing called a clavinet, which is a keyboard. But it plays, it's got like little hammers that play long strings, and it's like a kind of real grand piano thing. And it's the sound that is on Superstition by Stevie Wonder. He's playing a clavinet there. Kind of thing. Are we back?
Yep, we are.
There you go. So anyway, I was blathering on about keyboards and how much fun they are.
All right, sweetie. So, what I was thinking, okay, creative solutions, okay? Mm. Now, there are several kinds of creative solutions to everything. And some of them are energetic, okay? Because in a lot of ways, this is an energy issue. Because we, you know, there's dark energy that we're trying to counteract in some ways, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and obviously there's the awareness. So if you spread awareness about certain things, that helps. And various forms of activism that various people are involved in. And so on. And I'm sure that if the problems escalate, then there will also have to be an escalation of the solutions, right? Mm. But hopefully we won't get to needing to go there. And for the moment, one of the things that we can do is to make sure that our own personal frequency vibration is high, okay? And make sure that we are clear and receiving clear information. And then, which means, you know, that our energy fields are clear, that our chakras are clear, all of those kind of things, and that our immune system is strong so that we are not vulnerable to the various viruses that are coming down, right, and so on. And then also, the more we are activated and awake and energetically clear as human beings, the more we remember and activate our own multidimensionality, right? Mm. The more we can energetically influence some of the things that are going on this planet, okay? That is what somebody that is a planetary healer does, for example, is to energetically influence and clear and remove energies, right? And we can all do those kind of things in our own way. And the more we are connected to Source, because Source, should we all agree that there is a Source, and Source is the biggest energy?
is it bigger than the Pleiades solar system then?
Yes.
Is it bigger than Hunabku?
I want your machine. Where's your machine?
Hunabku. That one. No, it's not hooked up at the moment, actually.
No.
Because I'm in the middle of moving, so I'm using a sort of really basic. I tell you, Katie, this $500 microphone is being strapped, literally, with a piece of duct tape to a block of wood that came from the bottom of a pallet. That's my mic stand for tonight. That's how professional I'm being.
That's great. I like it. We don't need to do things.
That's right. It's what do you call it? Rustic.
Powerful. no money and only energy, and we can do it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, really. I mean, we may be given all these dark scenarios and all gold, they're all going to take us over. What we have to do is, the first thing we have to do, remember, it's all in the mind, you know. It's all like somebody's trying to convince you that this is a real thing, you know. Exactly. Somebody's trying to, you know, the only thing that convinces you it's a real thing is when you're in the here and now, and yes, there's a gun pointed in your direction, you've got to deal with that. But
yes,
all other scenarios are off the table, aren't they?
Well, they are, and even if you have the gun pointed at your head and you die, what happens?
Well, I just get delayed a bit.
Delayed a little bit, come back in another body, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's so you have to reincarnate. Okay, well, you can always walk into somebody that's already, like, incarnated as well.
Somebody's not using their brain so much.
You know, somebody that is like, you know what, I'm tired of being here, I can do with the rest, right? It's time for my soul to leave. That happens all the time, and so you can just, you know, come back. It's like a Stephen King movie. You can't get rid of us. You come back. There's always the second wind, right?
That's right.
So, but all of this joking around is to say, you know, as tragic as things can sound sometimes, really, it's there's nothing is permanent and nothing is unshiftable. And in some ways, none of this exists in the first place. And I know that can scramble some people's brain, but it's a good thing to keep in one's awareness when one starts to become a little bit too doom and gloomy and a little bit too concerned and a little bit too worried, right? That, you know, go to the end, to the possible end scenario, and the end scenario is something that we can all survive, and thank God for reincarnation, right? Okay, so, energies are things that can be influenced, and in a lot of ways, all of this is just thought forms coalescing into reality, right? It really is. It's like thought forms becoming reality. So, what is all the media all about? It's about creating thought forms and seeding thought forms that can crystallize into a reality that is the one desired by the friendly opposition. And so thought forms are energy that thought forms can be worked with. At the collective level, the thought forms actually sit on a grid that is like the collective mind of humanity. They can be worked with, okay? You know, dark energy can be moved. And it's like because things are energetic, they can be shifted, they can be changed, okay? So, yes. And ultimately, we are all here just in a body having an experience. And ultimately, even if we're all here together, we're also all living in our own little world. It's like we're of the world and not of it, right? And so we can start with each one of us and keeping ourselves high frequency and clear, because every droplet contributes to the quality of the ocean. So if we You know, if we keep our quality high, we are droplets and we can influence more droplets and the ocean becomes a better ocean, right, and so on. But we can also influence the collective energy itself, right? So I wanted to, we had talked about doing a little process, right?
So we did.
Are you still in the mood for that?
Oh, Katie, I'm always in the mood for a process with you. where do we start? What tools do I need?
What tools do we need? You need your third eye.
Ah, right. Hang on. Let me just polish that. I'm just going to get
my... Right. And your audience needs their third eye also.
Okay.
Right. Even a mildly functioning third eye is good enough.
Okay. Right. I think we got that all. About half a dozen, at least half a dozen, fully operational, and probably that many just kind of blinking open. That's interesting. Yes,
good. That's good. So what I wanted to start is just by I do energy work where I clear energy with people individually.
Yeah.
And when I do that, I work with a group of light beings on the other side. High dimensional light beings, and they're friendly, and you know, if friendly meaning they're not the friendly opposition in disguise, right? I know that a lot of people have mistrust about any kind of being now because they're so many of them are tricksters, right? But we do have friends in high places. So I wanted to start.
So Katie. Before you start, I should have done this during the break, but I need to drop you and pick you back up again. It won't take a second while I do that. I'll just bring her back in there because of that annoying little kind of. Okay, Katie, can you give me a count of five?
Sorry.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay, so you were getting a kind of interference with the signal, and it made it difficult.
Okay.
So
that's
now
good.
You're absolutely crystal clear and wall to wall.
Okay, so, and we're on the air right now.
And you're back.
Okay, good. All right, so if anybody listening or in the audience is not comfortable working with any kind of light being, don't, okay? It's free will, and if you're more comfortable with just working with Source Direct, that's fine. If you want to work with your higher self, that's fine. Okay, so I work with my light beings, and you guys can join in with that, or you can do your own thing. Okay, in terms of assistance of other energies. Okay, does that make people feel a little comfortable? I'm always a bit careful about things like this because people are a bit touchy about certain things these days, okay?
Yeah, I think just going down, I think I don't see any opposing energies, so.
Well, basically, you know, do what you're comfortable with. If you're not, don't do it, okay? Do your own thing. But if you are comfortable, it would be nice if you could just close your eyes and relax and breathe in white light into your body, all right? And breathing white light actually helps the body to relax and helps the body to go into a deeper state. So literally visualize white light going with your breath into your nostrils and filling in the whole of your body so that all of your body is bathed with white light. All of your cells are bathed with white light. And you can see the white light almost filling you up as if you were a silhouette, so that your arms are filled with white light, your torso, your chest, your head is filled with white light, your tummy is filled with white light, and then your pelvic area, your thighs, your knees, your legs, your calves, your feet, even your toes, all filled with white light. And then as you breathe deeper, start to connect with your heart chakra, that is the center of your being, and feel the white light going and clearing your heart chakra. Your heart chakra, it starts to pulse. It starts to pulse, and as it pulses, it releases and it clears. And as it does that, because it's the center of your being, and it's plugged into all of your other chakras, it will slowly start to make all of the other chakras also spin and pulse and clear. And we're getting a little bit of help with this so that everybody gets, if they're open to it, if they want it, they can get a bit of assistance with clearing their chakras and clearing their field and bringing in high-level light into their body, into their energy field, into their channels and meridians. And anything that no longer serves them can be released and or transmuted. Okay? And feel the vibration inside your body becoming higher. Feel the flu leaving if you have it. Feel nice homeopathic remedies coming in to take care of anything that is ailing you physically. Feel the body heal and relax. Feel the mind heal and relax. Feel your spirit heal and relax. And feel the heart chakra pulsing even further. Pulsing and opening, pulsing and opening. And as it does so, it starts to radiate like a sun. As it radiates in all directions, beautiful light, your energy field expands. The energy field also clears and becomes beautiful, and as wide as it can possibly be, and as clear as it can possibly be. And from this state, connect with the highest aspect that is you, that is for the highest good for you to connect with at this time. Feel a line of light going from your heart through to your crown, the top of your head, and the line of light going out, 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 out into the higher dimensions and connecting with the highest aspect of you that you can connect with at this time, and that is for the highest good for you to connect with at this time. One that you're ready to connect with. And for some of you, that may be even the source energy. For some of you, it may be your soul. For some of you, it just may be a higher dimensional self. And for some of you, it may be all of those. And allow for the connection to occur. And allow for whatever energy it is for the highest good for you to receive at this time to start to make its way towards your heart chakra, towards your third eye, towards your crown, towards your DNA, towards every molecule within you, so that you can integrate this energy and bring in higher knowledge, higher knowing, higher energy, higher vibration, higher beauty. And remember that it's all you. This is you just expressing more fully, becoming more whole, and as a result of being more whole, also being more empowered and having more awareness, even of skills that you may have had in other lifetimes, other places, other times, other realities. Remembering that you're not just a physical being, but you are a multidimensional being. And as a multidimensional being, you can see and change and shift much more than you ever thought that you could. All is energy, and many of you already know or have known at other times how to interact with energy and change it and shift it with your mind. And see at the moment your DNA and feel it almost like expanding. See your DNA blowing up as if you're zooming in with a microscope, and you're blowing it up into your inner screen, into the inner screen of your mind. And look at your DNA and see within the DNA any codes that need to be switched back on that were off. Switch them on. Switch them on now. Know, trust your higher self knows which are the ones that you're ready to awaken. And also, if there's any codes in there that need to be switched off or that are damaging to you or there's mutations in your DNA that shouldn't be there because they've been interfered with in any kind of form, either by the food that you're eating or the air that you're breathing or the energies that you're receiving. Ask for direct intervention from source in shifting these mutations or switching off these codes so that they no longer interfere with you and your growth and your development, okay, as a being. And as you do that, see the DNA becoming like gold. See the DNA in all of its multiplicity, because it's not just a physical entity. And see it radiating and receiving light from source and activating to its full potential at this time. And as it does so, also see extra energy in your energy field, layers and layers of energy opening, and frequencies inside the field becoming more beautiful and brilliant. And see and observe what a beautiful being you are. See and observe what a magnificent energy you are. See and observe how much multiplicity, not bad multiplicity like multiple personalities, but multiple streams of energy they are in your field. You're a complex being. You're a beautiful being. And there is much that you can do and see and experience. And you have come here to help and support. And you have come here to communicate not just information, but energy. And you have come here to awaken yourself and others and to heal yourself and the world. Okay? And now, for the people that are here now in real time, but also for the people that may be listening from another time in the future, okay? We can do this. It doesn't matter what time we're in. We can all link up, okay? And so I'm asking that the link up would occur only between the people that are of pure intent, that is aligned with source and with the highest good as intended by source. And if there's any beings that are not orientated in this way, that they do not allow, that they be not allowed to link up with us at this time. But for all the ones that are, we can energetically link up for the just for the time of this meditation. After we're done, we can unlink. It's a free will thing, okay? And that these energies, we can imagine that we're making a circle across the world, a circle across the world not just as a planet, but as an energetic being, including all of the consciousness grids of humanity. And that with the light that we're generating together and we're channeling from the source energy, that we visualize and see any dark energy that is on the consciousness grids being span out and removed, and any thought forms that are being seeded at the moment that are not for the highest good being transmuted, transformed, so that only the highest thought forms that are for the highest good of the collective remain in place at this time. And any ones that are instead dark and seeded to create disruption and a descent of the energy of the collective be removed. And we can spend a moment now just visualizing a spinning cleanup of light going through the grids. And you can literally see them as grids of light across the planet, and cleaning them up and cleaning them up and cleaning them up until these grids are gloriously radiant and beautiful, just as beautiful as your energy field was as you were cleaning up your own field, okay? And see these grids becoming very, very light-filled and clear, and see all that needs to be removed being removed, and see it literally just being spun out and leaving, and high beings of light will just take this debris energy and this dark debris, and they will take it and do with it what is for the best at this time. Okay? And as we are in this place, let's also connect with the sun that is receiving the galactic pulse and continues to receive the galactic pulse, and that is actually supporting our own evolution and we can connect with the sun and receive the light from the sun. We can receive it individually, and we can also help with the smoothing out this energy onto the planet as a whole, so that everybody can receive it, so that everybody can integrate it. Okay? And if at this time there's also any electronic grids around the Earth that are not for the highest good, we can ask for those, and we can to be dismantled also. Ones that are not for the highest good, and we can see them, like these are like frequency interference kind of grids. We can see them not broadcasting what they're trying to broadcast, okay? And if there's anything out there that is designed to weaken any people that shouldn't be weakened at this time, we can ask for that to be deactivated also, okay? And so it is my hope, and that we, through this process, aside from doing work, that we also become aware of how much work we can all do when our consciousness is aligned with the highest consciousness. Because, as you can see, it's easy to move things around when you are appropriately connected. Okay? And so it is.
And so it is. That's great. Thank you very much, Katie. You must be exhausted.
I'm not exhausted, but I need to go home.
Yeah. So we've also brought in Andrew Bartis, who's a presenter on Wall Spirit Radio as well, of the show A Psychic's Tale. Andrew's been battling the astral fields. How have you been, Andrew?
It's been a tough couple of days here. They've really rolled out some really negative people in the last 5 days. I was listening to some of Katie's meditation, and it's wonderful that you're able to bring that on air and help people clear out. It's just what started happening a few days ago was a direct connected attack on Peoples in the Truth or Movement throughout the network, not just Wolf Spirit Radio, Revolution Radio, American Freedom, all of them. They were all under attack. And what it was specifically for was people that are in the internet that are using your social networks to get access to you or your pictures and then psychically influence you through your pictures in a mass way. What they're doing is rolling out the people that they've mentored the last year. 2012 for them was mentoring these trolls, these internet trolls. JP, you're familiar with what I'm talking about when I say that, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're paid. They're paid $1,500 a month to be evil, all right? That's what it costs to buy these people now. And the best of the best of the best have been arranged and aligned and put into group order and compartmentalized locations through fusion centers to attack various sections of the Truther movement. And today they chose to attack Wolf Spirit Radio during Thomas's show. And they were reaching out and attacking the energy of not only the hosts that were on the air at the time, but they were trying to attempt to hit the people that were listening, as well as those people that were going to be listening to the archives. At that point, I had enough. I called in my special friends, and I began pushing and surrounding them with energy and light. And then calling in other members that have a different understanding of how the program is unfolding here and why the program is unfolding here, and an understanding of the clampdown that's being put on the Truther movement, specifically because of what's going on this weekend of the inauguration of Barack Obama, because that's what ties all their previous dark energies from the last administration to this next administration. So there's a seamless leadership. That is ultimately what is keeping the Illuminati in control right now, is the fact that they've been seamlessly connected, all of their leaderships, 12,000 years into the past. So what we're battling here is 12,000 years of control and domination. It's not just that Wolf Spirit Radio is a special station. It's all of these stations are special in getting their truth out. And we, like people like me, you, JP, Katie, can step up and help clear out the energetic etheric grid around the internet specifically specifically these fusion centers, which are directing parasitic entities through the internet so that they will pop through your screen and attach to you energetically. Katie, are you familiar with attachment spirits that people can get in public areas?
Yes, absolutely. And also, I mean, there's that they operate that way in many ways, even just through music and CDs and MP3s. They actually do rituals to attach that kind of stuff through the music industry, right? For example, right? So yes, absolutely. The thing is, entities can attach all the time, right? So it's important that we keep clear, okay? Now, there's a difference between an entity attachment and a possession, all right? So an entity attachment, you can easily get rid of that kind of stuff if you know how to clear your energy field, or if you know somebody that can clear it for you, okay? Now, a possession is more difficult because the spirit, the entity is not just walking through your field and sending you a black cord. It's literally integrated with your whole energy system. And usually there's reasons for which that depth of a connection can occur, and you can have more problems, okay? So most of the time, the attacks that we're having, they're not that difficult to shield off. The thing is, most people don't realize that they're being attacked in the first place. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we could actually see what's going on, it would be easy to get rid of it. But sometimes we can't see, and so then it's not so easy to counteract, right? And I'll give you an example of that. When I had my little pneumonia thing, right, at some point I actually decided to scan my field just in case, which I don't always do. I mean, I do scan my field, but, you know, it's like when you get sick, you don't necessarily think that you're being attacked in some way. You just think you're sick. But I looked and there was a dark claw that was literally squeezing one of my lungs. And that was the lung that was hurting the most, right? So once I actually saw it, I removed it. It was easy. Do you know what I mean? But if I hadn't seen it, that thing would have squeezed my lung for much longer, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, so it's important for the people that can't see what is going on with them, because not everybody can, it's important to develop routines to keep the energy field clear. That can literally just be as simple as get up in the morning and say, source, please cut any cords, any attachments, and clear any entities that may be in my field or influencing at this time. Okay? Like, it literally, you can use the power of your word to ask for assistance from source in clearing all of the things that are going on with your energy field. If the issue that's going on is simple, that is sufficient to keep your field clear. Okay? Do that in the morning, do that before you go to bed. If you think that you're being targeted in any specific way, you ask for assistance in reversing whatever it is that is being directed towards you. Okay? Obviously, then there's shields and shielding and so on. Okay, so you can ask for a shield. You can ask for a shield that shields you from any kind of electronic or astral interference. Okay? Now, regardless of all these things, sometimes you will still have somebody come through your shield, or, do you know what I mean, or some kind of attack that will go through. And usually that happens because there's a vulnerability of some kind within the person. And the vulnerability within the person is there because of karma or stuff from past lives or prior agreements or a fear program that is running. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're very scared of these beings, they can get in. Because your fear gives them permission to come in. All right? So one of the things that everybody has to understand is that we do have 100% ownership of our own energy field by spiritual law, okay? Spiritual law says this energy field belongs to me, all right? Spiritual law is such that you have a right to your own energetic field. It's your domain, okay? So if there's another entity or being that is trying to piggyback your energy field or come in it or do something to it or whatever, you have a right as a being to ask in the name of spiritual law, right, to command it out and to ask for it to be removed. Ask for the energy of source direct to come and do the work if you are not certain about what you're doing individually. When I did this meditation, one of the reasons which I took people into their multidimensionality is to make people realize that energetically we're actually more complex and a little bit bigger than what we think that we are. And when we do that, we can connect with our expanded self, of which source is the most expanded version. And we can call that in, and we can really move stuff around. So connect with the source energy and ask for the source energy to help you with whatever problem you're experiencing, right? And that will shift things around, okay? Does that make sense?
Oh, no, it makes complete sense to me. Okay. I'll give a little further explanation. These people have been trained for the last year to be vicious. They'll attack people on the internet. They'll write extremely long posts that berate people. Well, these people have been the best of the best, have been associated. They form teams, and these teams have access to technology that are called etheric transmitters. They're in a satellite system. So let's say anyone like you, me, whoever's on air at the time, these particular etheric transmitters can be focused on that person, and then you'll have several dozen of these people that have been trained. Instead of writing letters or words at them, they're focusing on them on live on air and hitting these people and doing nasty damage to them.
Absolutely. Well, I'm talking right now, and I have a circle around my third eye, and I've had it for the past 20 minutes, okay? So I know exactly what you're talking about, okay? But just to give you an example, do not get scared, okay? Do you know what I mean?
Don't get scared. I mean, we took care of these all day today. That was the story that I want to bring out.
Absolutely.
And it had to come from a state where we understood we cannot be violent back to them, because that would just trigger a response 10 times more.
Absolutely. So
go ahead.
This is a good example. Can we use this as a teaching example so that we can?
Absolutely. That's why I came on air.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So let's say that you're doing something and you're being energetically attacked, because even the technology, it's still energy, okay? Right? Even if it's technology, it's still energy. It's just technological energy, but it's rather than psychic energy, but it's energy, right?
Yes,
so you can still shield against even that kind of stuff, all right? It's not that you can psychically shield only from psychic energy. You can psychically shield from all sorts of things. As long as it's energy, you can shield from it, all right? So at the moment, I'm feeling a pressure around my head that actually started just before I did the show, so it was probably happening right from the get-go, okay? Now, one of the things to do is bring source energy into the body, right? At the moment, because it's around the head, I'll bring it into my third eye. And then you charge the third eye, blast it out, and push out the energy that is there, you know, that is interfering. And eventually it breaks, okay? And I've done this before many times. Eventually, if you do this for long enough, the energy breaks. You can literally feel it kind of shatter around you, okay? So that is just in the example of just me right now, etc. But in general, there is always something that you can do to counteract any of those kind of things. And if you understand that, then you do not open yourself up through fear. Okay? So it's important to stay in, it's almost like you have to really stay centered in your power around these kind of things, so that if you think that something is happening to you, just go inside and say, okay, well, I think something is happening to me, but I just need to connect to the source energy, bring the source energy into my being, ask for support and help, and I can counteract to this event that is occurring, right? It sounds really simple, but actually it kind of is. Do you know what I mean? And if you really get stuck around stuff of this kind, there are a lot of people that do energy work that can unstick you. Do you know what I mean? Like if you get stuck and it's kind of like new, do you know what I mean? territory for you to have to deal with these kind of things energetically, then you can go and get somebody to help you so that you get unstuck. For example, some months ago, I had the people from Truth Frequency Radio that came to me because they were getting attacked energetically left, right, and center. We did a whole bunch of work, and then they were good to go, right? So it's like things are not as complex and as difficult as we are made to believe. We're not powerless. We just truly start to use spiritual tools to counteract some of these things and stay out of fear, stay in your center, stay in your power, ask for support from spirit, ask for support from source in dismantling any kind of attack that is coming your way, and you will get it, okay? If you don't get it, for some reason, you're meant to experience something that is going to teach you something. That is the only time in which you don't get support from spirit, is if, for some reason, walking through that experience is going to teach you something valuable, then in that case, you may be left to kind of like, struggle around a little bit, you know, a little bit longer. But
they like to watch you squirm.
I don't think they like so much to watch you squirm.
Yes, they do. The gods are cruel.
Yeah, that's
a truth that.
Yes, unless there's something that you need to learn from something, right, you will always get support, okay?
Yeah, I think it's like I'm jaded because I've had so many of the latter kind rather than the... It's like, oh, come on, surely now. No, okay.
Well, and you know why, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm God's joke.
No, by the way, similar experience on this end sometimes, right? All jokes aside, this is a time of very intense karmic clearing for a lot of people. Like, a lot of people are clearing out a lot of really old experiences. And when Andrew was saying that we are now up against 12,000 years of history, he's right, okay? And not just world history. We're also up against 12,000 years of our own history, okay? Because a lot of us have encountered all of these beings before. A lot of us have been incarnated in Atlantis and in Egypt and have already gone through these experiences before, okay? And some of us have encountered these same beings before. Some of us have encountered these beings even before the 12,000 years when we were on Orion. Do you know what I mean? And so we have karma with these energies. We have trauma with these energies. They killed me several times. I remember all of them. They were not fun. Okay? And so sometimes we re-encounter a traumatizing energy so that we can clear that trauma out of our own experience. And so it's always like this, isn't it? It's like we have this story that is going on, and it's a planetary story, but there's also an individual story, and there's also a soul story. And the soul story is the one that we truly are living. The planetary story in some ways is just the backdrop of the play, right? And so sometimes we go through, it's almost like we have to walk through an experience that's very similar to something that we already had, where we do get victimized, or where we do have an encounter with a dark energy, or where we do have an encounter with something that is persecutory, right? And the purpose for that is so that this time around we do it differently, so that this time around we don't get scared, so that this time around we don't allow ourselves to be dismantled or diminished or disempowered, or that this time around we don't get hateful towards that energy, right? Because that happens too. You have a traumatizing experience, then you become hateful towards that energy. If you become hateful towards an energy spiritually, you're not progressing, okay? So it's about overcoming something without hating it, all right? So some people are re-experiencing polarizing and painful things so that they can move beyond them and not turn hateful or not turn fearful. And this is the karmic and soul aspect of the collective story, right? So this is why sometimes you will have the experience that is not so great, because you're trying to get a different outcome. You're trying to learn to do it in a different way.
Well, that's great, Andrew. We're coming towards the end of the show, and it's been absolutely brilliant, Katie. And thank you for squeezing that last burst of energy out.
Yeah, literally. I feel I'm channeling right now.
Yeah.
Tube on top of my head.
Andrew, how's your tube? It's quicker by tube.
There's the tube going through my crown chakra right now. So, yeah. It's a good tube. It's not a bad tube.
Right? It's fine.
All right. So it is coming to the end here, and I'm going to let you guys close out, okay? So I'm going to say goodbye to your people, to your lovely people, right?
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. And good luck, Andrew. Sending you light.
Thank you very much. We've done a good healing.
Okay. Oh, bless you. Thank you very much, Katie. And well, I'll catch up with you in a few days, and we'll choose some more of this business, and see where we're going. So thank you once again for coming on. That's absolutely brilliant, and I'll
okay, lots of love. Bye.
So we've got about 5 minutes. So do you want to cram a few nuggets in there, Andrew?
Well. First thing first, this is going to pass. These trolls that they've rolled out, it's an endurance battle with them. If you don't, you listen to some of the techniques Katie talked about, or any of the other guests that are on here, it's an endurance battle. When you're least looking at, they're gonna get at you, and they're gonna get at you through your devices that keep you connected to streams of energy, be it the wall outlet or your cell phone. It doesn't matter. And I saw someone in the chat say, I don't feel the need to protect you. It's not about you. It was about the greater good of what was going on and getting at the source of what was putting out these puppetry entities, because its goal was to infest thousands of us and to turn us into people that began to fight and argue with each other and fall apart and just start swearing at each other like a dysfunctional family. That was its purpose. And identifying the source and communicating with it on a soul level to understand that there was karma to pay here, ultimately is what went on. You know, we had to set up some major defenses around some major, major networks, you know, even some of the mainstream media networks. We understood the level that some of these ravenous trolls were working at now. It was specific. They had to turn off the GOES-9, the GOES-8 etheric satellite network. So, and we got them to do that. So we had to use a bit of heavy-handedness to do that, but finally it was come to the terms to understand if they're going to push that at this level right now, that the response that we were going to give back, the we as in many more of us, and one of them who just left the chat, who's, you know, watching over a lot of us, because we need people to watch over us in times like this, because we cannot be aware 24/7, 365. And for those of you who think that you can, you have to check your ego right there, because guess what? You see, if you're brushing your teeth or you're taking a crap, it can get at you. You're reading the newspaper, it has an opportunity. You have all of your wireless devices on 24/7, sleeping next to your cell phone, you're asking for trouble. So that's really what it comes down to, is being empowering of yourself and understanding your environment, learning how to have vision. Without vision, you're going to get caught blindsided by a conduit of energy that just like stepping on a landmine, because that's the way they do this.
Yeah. So that was one beyond of an ever beyond. That was really quite a lovely afternoon.
A fitting ever beyond. A very fitting ever beyond.
Just in the right place. So Maybe my special guest will specially appear next week, and I guarantee you will love this guest. We will love this guest, indeed. Now I got to play my outro there. Then that's going there, and then we're going to bring in Frank Jordan for his show. We'll be doing that in a few minutes' time. So do stay tuned, and thank you very much, Andrew, for appearing in this last segment, because it kind of ties everything together as to putting everything into a context. And between the two of you, very nice balance. So excellent, Andrew. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me on, JP.